from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Mark Report. It is the 21st day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a U.S. delegation is headed to China late in this month to hammer out details of commerce. The National Institute of Medicine thinks school meals should be more closely aligned with the latest dietary guidelines. And soft red winter wheat traders appear to be testing the waters of the cash-settled contract at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, as we close out our program, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. December contract and the wheat at 542.5, 25 cents higher. The March at 560.25, up 24 and 3 quarters. And May wheat at 571.25, 23 and 3 quarters higher. December hard red at 546 in Kansas City, 20.25 cents higher. December corn back in Chicago at the CME Group's Board of Trade, 398.25, up 13 and 3 quarters. The March at 410, up 13.25. And the May corn, 13 cents higher at $4.18.5. July, 425 and 3 quarters, up 12 and 3 quarters. September at 428.25, up 10 and a half cents. November beans, $10.08.5, 26 higher. January, 1009 and 3 quarters, up 24 and a half. The March at 1008, that's 21 and 3 quarters higher. And the May soybeans at $10 a penny and a quarter, up 20 and a half cents. July futures, $10 and a half cents, up 20 cents. December bean meal today, 298.70, up 6.20. January, 292, up 4.80. December bean oil at 38.56 and the products up $1.09. The January $1.10 higher at 39.01. October live cattle futures 86.60, $1.70 higher. December at $87.07.5, up 92.5. October feeders at 94.50, up 25. November's up $1.02.5 at 96.22.5. December lean hogs today at $53.67.5, finished 80 cents higher. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Outside markets now finished the crude oil futures with the December contract at $81.37 that is, a barrel on its settlement price, up $2.25. November ethanol at $1.98 and a tenth, that's up 5 and 8 tenths. The natural gas at 5 and 8 and a half cents, that's $5.08 and a half, down 7 and 1 half cents. And the RBOB gasoline at 205 and 3 tenths, up 6 and 1 half cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 210 and 6 tenths, up 5 and 8 tenths of a cent. And the gold futures at 1,063.70, up $5.90. The Dow at 10,074 is now 33 points higher. The dollar at 74.97 is down 0.59. And the CRB index at 284.09, that's up 5.96 on the afternoon. The Goldman Sachs at 525.06 is up 12.82. Here's what the weather forecast with a two-state region looks like for Illinois and Indiana. Tonight in Illinois, becoming cloudy. Some showers moving into northern and western sections. That'll happen overnight. In Indiana, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 46 in northwestern Illinois to 54 in some of the central and southern locations. And then tomorrow, in Illinois, cloudy, periods of rain. In Indiana, mostly cloudy. Some rain arriving during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 48 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 68 in the south. At the bottom of this hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay right here with us on Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
This is the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Paul Cooley on this day. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, and is on the line with us this afternoon. What a day in Chicago it was. Paul, what did you see that made the market move higher?
Well, what a day, as you said. Well, it was a very weak U.S. dollar, a very wet weather forecaster, and some of the writers and the market commentators, if they could have met, gave the forecast any wetter conditions for the next 2 weeks, some had it up to, I think, 4 to 6 inches of rain over the next 2 week period. You know, also, the crude oil market, rallied considerably. The market is witnessing commodity fund buying. They're very long commodities across the entire trading floors in New York and Chicago. The U.S. dollar is a weak U.S. dollar is government policy. We are having a very busy harvest day here in the Midwest, and I think that's going to last clear into the night tonight and possibly early tomorrow in a lot of areas. The weather forecast really got people shook. The crack meteorologist that I talked to is saying central Illinois here should have 6 tenths to 1.8 inches. The weekend has a little nuisance rainfall event. And then the following, the 28th and 30th of October, somewhere in that half inch to an inch of rain. I had one meteorologist call me, around the 1 o'clock time frame, and said that he thought that it was a little drier forecast on that second event or third event, and also a little drier into November. But the marketplace surged today. If there was any hedging or farmer selling, it just gobbled it up. There was a little profit taking into the close.
All right, so let's talk about this market just a bit and what to do with the cash sales. Last week when we talked to you, you were still bearish the market, but not willing to make any cash corn sales at that point. Have you changed your mind yet?
I think we are at the higher levels of kind of in here. And if I had 200 bushels to the acre of number two corn in my fields or bins times $4, that's the way I'd play the game. Now, it might be a sale for January or April time frame, but I think I would go on and market my corn, particularly if it was dry. And I use the word dry because that's one of the biggest problems of this farming equation in the corn market, is how am I going to get this very wet corn to number two level so I can get it sold.
Yeah, so if you're at 28% probably, or 30%, and you're at 240, I'd have to do the figures in my head, but you're
4 cents a point.
Right. But I'm backtracking. I think that's probably close to 200 bushel. I don't remember a bushel corn, but something like that. So you would be a seller there. Most guys are actually in beans probably today, as opposed to corn, I would think. And they're stopped in the western part of Iowa. What are you doing with the beans? You're selling those over the scale?
60 bushel plus beans times the $10 mark is good enough for Paul Cooley. A person does have to be reward the market on these rewards. And one of the things that we found from past, we've all heard about $90 and $100 crude oil before.
Right.
And we've all heard about $12 and $13 beans before, and $5 to $7 corn before. And we've all been told that the economy, the stock market would come back to 10,000. And so, a commodity is a little different than a stock, 100 shares of Chevron. You do have to market it. It is a commodity. It doesn't last forever. And, you know, that's one reason why I think a person needs to reward it. The thing that bothers me a little bit, and I think bothers, you know, the commodity markets in general, if we haven't had any inflation yet, what's it going to be like another year from now when we really are going to see, you know, weakness in the U.S. dollar? But we'll worry about that when the time comes.
Okay, so let's go through the reasons to sell, because right now I've been writing sort of down the things that, you've said and I was thinking about along the way. So the reasons for the market to be in the area or to be moving higher at this point: weak dollar, wet forecast, rally in the crude, commodity funds have been buying, and I suppose inflation might be in the background there too. But their cons are, or the reasons to sell are, that it looks like it might be drier in November. A 13.1 billion bushel crop?
A bigger crop, yep. In South America. We're going to have competitors that are going to kickstart their production upward, particularly in the soybean area.
Right.
And my hunch is that I don't think we'll see the USDA in the November report cut the report. I think it'll still be very close. So we are going to basically harvest a pretty good volume of bushels at some point in time. The trouble is, it is going to take a long time to get the North Dakota corn crop harvested, and it is going to take a long time to harvest this corn crop, and we've talked about high moisture corn is generally bearish the market.
All right, and then one other thing. There has been some discussion that even if USDA were to leave the crop size the same, that demand is better and that they'll have to at least increase that, and that would lower carryout. Do you think that's right or wrong?
I think they've got about all the demand factored in that you could wish on any either corn or beans right now.
All right, so $4 corn, $10 beans are a sale in the Cooley marketplace.
Yeah, particularly if it's number two.
if it's number two corn, right?
Yeah.
If your test weight is there,
yeah.
All right, which is 54 pounds.
Yeah.
At 15%. Okay. I think that does it.
And one of the other things is, of course, you know, if you have to go to commercial storage, there is a cost factor there, and it does cost you to hold it for higher prices, and that's another deal. But we can always use weakness to replace it, and if it does basically go into that first couple of weeks in November extremely wet, then we will see this market to move some higher.
Paul, it's always fun to talk with you.
Have a nice one, Todd.
Yeah, you too. Thanks much. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul had to say again when you get back in from the field tonight, you can do that on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org, or share a portion of it at 217-333-3434. I'll have it posted by about quarter after 3 this afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Now, you've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. Now's the time to shut the machine off, take a little nap. We want you to stay safe out there in the field. Dave Dickey is here with the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, three Obama administration officials will lead a U.S. delegation at trade talks in China later this month, aimed at improving trade relations that have become increasingly frayed. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk, Commerce Secretary Gary Locke, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack are heading to a meeting of the U.S.-China Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade on October 28th. U.S. meat exporters are hoping for resolution to trade conflicts between the U.S. and China. China banned U.S. pork earlier this year after the H1N1 influenza was discovered in the U.S. U.S., China continues to uphold the ban while it does its own risk assessments. The National Institute of Medicine has issued a report recommending new targets and standards to improve children's nutritional needs and foster healthy eating habits. It would bring school meals in line with the latest dietary guidelines for Americans and with dietary reference intakes. IOM recommendations, however, regarding the addition of more fruits, vegetables, and whole grain products would lead to a significant increase in the cost of providing school meals. Frustrated wheat traders who say the Chicago Board of Trade soft red winter wheat contract is no longer an effective hedging tool appear to be testing the waters in a new market, the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. Open interest in the MGE's long dormant cash settled soft red winter wheat index futures has exploded over the last 3 weeks, jumping from zero contracts on September 25th to 1,258 contracts as of October 16th. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange yesterday announced it will raise its speculative position limits on its cash-settled grain index contracts starting today. Position limits for the wheat indices moves from 1,000 to 5,000 contracts in a single month or 6,500 contracts in all months combined. A Farm Service Agency report says first-year sign-up for the average crop revenue election program attracted about 8% of the total eligible farms and 13% of eligible base acres, but popularity of the program varied widely among commodities and farming regions. Of the 128,620 farms enrolled in Acre in 2009, 82% raised corn, 75% raised soybeans, and half raised some wheat. States with the largest number of base acres enrolled were Illinois, Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can find anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, you know, corn farmers are harvesting a very, very wet crop, and it's likely to stay that way. I'll have a report on the reasons why and how test weight varies with moisture content. The national corn harvest is way behind, so far behind, in fact, that most people cannot remember a crop that was taken out this late. So, as a nation, we're dealing with some unknowns. There's much speculation that the record-breaking corn crop won't be so record-breaking when it finally gets put away. That's probably not the case. It might not be as big, but it certainly isn't going to get much smaller either, say the specialist at the University of Illinois. The one thing everyone can agree on is that the crop now will come out of the field wet, and there's not much to do about that, says U of I agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
You have to have a difference between the corn moisture and the moisture in the air for it to actually dry. If the difference is in the other direction, it can actually wet up again, but it doesn't do that until it's probably below 20% or so. No matter how we cut it, the drying rate of corn is going to be slow after the middle of October. If we'd get a week of 75 degree temperatures and sunshine and breeze, it could certainly accelerate for a while, but the expectations of getting that just aren't very high right now.
So farmers in the grain handling industry are dealing with a whole new problem. The entire corn crop, all 13 billion bushels of it, will likely need to be dried before storage. The other problem is test weight. Well, that's actually only a perceived problem and one of the reasons that 13 billion bushel corn crop is likely to stay a 13 billion bushel crop.
We know that the test weight of a lot of corn that's at 30% moisture is typically going to be lower than it will be after that corn is dried. As a general rule of thumb, though, if it's sound kernels, that their only problem is they have high moisture, we expect the test weight to go up as you dry corn about a pound for every 4 points of moisture.
So the light test weights being reported around the Midwest are more likely the result of the high moisture content of the corn and reporting that test weight without correcting it to 15% than because of damage, although that is still possible. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us from Delphi, Indiana, at the Anderson's Climbers facility is Matt Blaisdell today to take up the cash grain market. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You're taking both corn and soybeans in, or just soybeans today?
There are still some corn trickling in for guys who either are done with beans or don't have any beans, but the last 3 days have definitely been heavy bean days.
And what kind of moisture content and what are yields like for those soybeans?
Yeah, and actually, something to note on, we actually had our busiest bean day since 1980 at Delphi yesterday, so this kind of shows you how many beans are ready to go and how many guys are doing beans. Yields are coming anywhere from the mid to high 50s to the low 60s. That's basically the range a lot of guys are coming in at. And the moisture was an issue on Monday, but has since came down, and of the bushels we brought in yesterday, our average was below 13, so they're dry and ready to come out of the field.
And they're ready to go. How about on the corn side? What are you seeing there?
Corn side here, it's like I said, I haven't seen a lot come in, but what we have seen come in, the guys are saying it's yielding for our area about 10 to 15 bushels less than last year. Last year, though, we had a phenomenal crop, so, back to more close to what our five-year average is, but, moisture still has not came down much, still an issue. Most of it's coming in at 25 to 27 and test weight around that 56 or so.
And so that'd be dry weight, 56 pounds, right?
Right, 56 dry weight, yep.
And do you have any problems with diploidy or other things that you need to dock out?
We have only seen a very few loads that had some diploidy in it, and that was some early stuff. And the stuff that we've been hitting here in the last week to 10 days, we have seen no traces of it. So right now, knock on wood, we're not having any issues with it.
Bids for the day are?
Here at Climbers, we finished the day at 398, Delphi corn at 388, and Delphi beans at 978.
And are farmers taking the hook and going for that?
Quite a bit of selling here today. We're very busy today, Todd.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you.
And that's Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Brandied Fruit Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. The acquisition included the entire western corn belt and most of the wheat-producing states in the U.S. Thomas Jefferson decided to make the purchase because he felt uneasy about France and Spain having the power to block American trade access to the port of New Orleans. In 1930, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes premiered on NBC Radio. You may not know this, but the sleuth had a green thumb, In his last story, we learned that though Holmes is crippled by occasional attacks of rheumatism, he has for many years lived on a small farm 5 miles from Eastbourne, where his time is divided between philosophy and agriculture. And in 1970, Norman Borlaug received the Nobel Peace Prize for his contribution to the Green Revolution. An American agricultural pioneer, he increased grain production throughout the Third World by perfecting and introducing new strains of wheat and rice crops. And he conceived the World Food Prize, awarded each fall for improving the world's food supply or access to it. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated on the line is here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Drew, I was on the line this morning, phone, with a farmer in the far western part of Iowa. He'd like to be in the bean field, but unlike his compadres over here in the eastern Corn Belt, he's out because it's raining there. What can you tell me about it?
Well, it's going to continue raining there for the duration of this day. Most likely it will still be raining tomorrow morning, but that'll be about the end of it. The storm system will be winding down. He'll have some drizzle out there for a little while tomorrow. Otherwise, the skies will start to break up a little bit by tomorrow evening, and we should see partial sunshine for a brief moment, perhaps, as we go into Friday. But, boy, it's going to be brief because there's another storm system coming in right behind this that will precipitate again across western Iowa and the western Corn Belt in general as we go on into the day Saturday and Sunday as well. The wet weather biased pattern continues across the Midwest. Everybody will experience the same kind of scenario where precipitation and cloud cover are rather prevalent across the region for another week. It doesn't look like we're going to see just days on end of rain, but it's just not a very good drying environment. So fieldwork will continue to be somewhat limited across a fair amount of the region as we go through this period. There's a little bit of hope out there with the latest model runs suggesting that maybe we're going to get involved with some colder air in the latter part of next week. And if that occurs, then we may actually dry the air out a little bit as the cold air will come in from Canada and there's not much moisture up there. So when it settles into the heart of the country, we may actually push the jet stream far enough to the south and bring enough dry air in that we might get a little break for a little while.
And then if you turn your attention, I guess there's not much else to talk about in the Midwest, I suppose, unless there's something different in Ohio, but I don't think that's the case. Turn your attention then to South America and how they're proceeding with their planting progress.
Well, Argentina's weather has been a little herky-jerky here this season. In fact, it's been like that really since the start of their winter season, but we won't go there. The most recent weather patterns have been disfavoring rainfall across western portions of Argentina. This would include places like Cordoba and La Pampa and Santiago del Estero, and then up in the far north in Chaco, another province in the nation that is very, very dry. All four of these areas are really hurting for moisture, even though there's been a few showers and thunderstorms here in the last day or two. We do expect to see precipitation starting to increase a little bit, especially as we go into the end of next week, going into the first week of November. So a little bit of an improving trend there. We're not too far away from the start of soybean planting in Argentina, so it's going to be important that we go ahead and get the moisture content in these soils back up again so that they can plant and have these crops established favorably. I really don't anticipate the problems in Argentina to last all the way through the growing season, but we will have a little bit of dryness to deal with here in the West to begin with. For Brazil, it's just the opposite. A lot of rain has been falling there. The only place that hasn't been real wet right now is Rio Grande do Sul and also up into Bahia in the far northeast. The majority of the main soybean production areas in Brazil are plenty wet right now and will likely get more so as we move forward through the next week to 10 days as additional rain falls. But this isn't all that unusual for this time of year, and certainly not unusual for an El Nino event. We'll look for some drier weather to occur about a week from now.
Drew, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, and have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons. I'm Todd Gleason.